From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns concludes the fourth in a series of messages expounding Isaiah chapter 53. The title of this message is Christ Despised and Rejected. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Blessing on Littleness. The text is Psalm 115, verse 13. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. This is a word of cheer to those who are of humble station and mean estate. Our God has a very gracious consideration for those of small property, small talent, small influence, small weight. God careth for the small things in creation, and even regards sparrows in their lighting upon the ground. Nothing is small to God, for he makes use of insignificant agents for the accomplishment of his purposes. Let the least among men seek of God a blessing upon his littleness, and he shall find his contracted sphere to be a happy one. Among those who fear the Lord there are little and great. Some are babes, and others are giants. But these are all blessed. Little faith is blessed faith. Trembling hope is blessed hope. Every grace of the Holy Spirit, even though it be only in the bud, bears a blessing within it. Moreover, the Lord Jesus bought both the small and the great with the same precious blood, and he has engaged to preserve the lambs as well as the full-grown sheep. No mother overlooks her child because it is little. Nay, the smaller it is, the more tenderly does she nurse it. If there be any preference with the Lord, he does not arrange them as great and small, but as small and great.
Oh,
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. As he continues these series of studies in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, Dr. Cairns is expounding verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Again we see man's treatment of Christ. Carrying on the theme of verses 1 and 2, this verse reveals more of the natural man's hatred of the Lord Jesus. Ironically, Christ is rejected by those who need him the most. Dr. Cairns began the message by examining the various terms contained in the verse. He is now presenting the teaching of the text. The wickedness of mankind is revealed in the degeneracy which has characterized humanity since the fall. Then there is the goodness of God demonstrated in the gift of his Son to save sinners. Finally, believers can find comfort in the one who knows every sorrow and pain. Now, to conclude this message entitled Christ Despised and Dismissed, here is Dr. Cairns.
The second truth that the text teaches is the goodness of Christ, that he willingly endured it all. I was reading just yesterday Luke's account of how the Lord Jesus set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. When he passed through the village of the Samaritans, we read they rejected him. Now that's their responsibility. That was their sin. But we're given the deeper purpose of God in it, overruling their sin. There was a deeper reason. And it was because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Oh, what a picture of the Son of God bearing the load of a world's guilt and sin. The Son of God with a stark and ugly cross in his vision, with all the pain and the anguish of Calvary staring him in the face, and the very people for whom he came to die naturally hating everything he stood for. And yet he set his face like a flint. Not all hell and earth combined could keep him from going to Calvary. He was despised, but he despised not. He was rejected, yet he opened his arms to receive the very guiltiest of his rejectors. He's the man of sorrows, who through his sorrow offers the greatest joy that the human heart can ever receive. He's acquainted with grief. He endured the pain in order that we should never endure the pain of utter darkness forever. We hid our faces from him, but he has turned his face toward us with the look of ineffable love. He calls us to himself. The wickedness of man, the goodness of Christ. You know, for the second to overcome the first, you have the truth of the necessity for supernatural grace to save man. We saw this in the first verse. The arm of the Lord revealed is the only answer to unbelief. When you look at verse 3, there's not a good thing there that is indicated about human nature. There's not the slightest hint of any inherent power of self-recuperation. I want you to see very clearly that there is nothing in the prophet's picture of human nature that would ever lead you to believe that there is the slightest vestige of power within a man to reclaim himself from the slippery slope to perdition, if he is ever to be saved. Then it will be by grace. If he's ever to be saved, it will be by God. If he's ever to be saved, it will be by a miracle of divine intervention. Then there's one final, simple and practical teaching that the text lays before us. And it's this. The comfort to the believer that Jesus Christ, as the man of sorrows and the man of suffering, really understands our suffering. We live in a world that, for all its music, for all its singing, and there's plenty of that, for all its entertainment, it's one of the biggest industries in the world, for all its money, and there's more of that today than ever before available to the common man, but for all those things, we live in a world that's howling in pain. Howling in pain. You look at this country, and I take this not as the worst example, but in many ways as the best that man can produce. Americans are proud, with a lot of justification, of what they have done, of how far they have come, of how quickly they arrived, of the eminence, the power, the wealth that this nation has accrued. So I take this in many ways as the best example of what man can do. Yet you look at this country, we are told that, and I mention this because it's coming up now to the fore again, we are told that between 20 and 25 million of America's children have been murdered in the womb. No matter what the sociologists tell you, don't you believe that there's not from many millions of murdering mothers a cry of anguish? For there is. And had you but ears to hear it, you would hear a greater cry of the blood of the innocent that pleads before the throne of God for vengeance. And it will get it. You look across this nation. You see the suffering of violence, or through violence, the suffering that comes through booze. And yet the very demons who cause the suffering are lauded as the great men of the world. The beer kings are courted by every presidential candidate, and there's not a president goes into office but that his hands are soiled with the blood of the booze merchants who have damned their millions. But because they can hand out a few million dollars, they are wonderful men. But from across America, the cries of little children, the cries of battered women, the cries of broken lives, the cries of shattered homes. I can't even begin to conceive of the hurt and the anguish from the drug trade. Even believing in the total depravity of men, I really can't come to terms with people who can make a fat living out of the destruction of body, mind, and soul. But amidst all the glitter and the glamour that is America today, that's the picture of pain. Add to that the homes that are broken, with every broken home, broken hearts. Add to that the kinds of sorrow that you and I know very little about that are going through every stratum of this society. This is a hurting nation. I want to tell you, only the man of sorrows can understand sorrow. Only the Christ who suffered can come and meet the suffering at the point of their pain and bring them into deliverance. But in the midst of all this sorrow, even Christians are not immune. Now, I want to make that point because the devil adds to your sorrow and your suffering by telling you the lie that if you were really right with God, you wouldn't suffer. When you look at Jesus Christ, you are looking at God in the flesh. You are looking at the one who is supremely the servant of the Lord. And yet he was supremely the man of sorrows. You will find that great grief often attends great service for God. You will find that very often the nearer you are to the Lord, the farther you are from men. You will find that the more you are like Jesus Christ, the more like Christ you will be hated by the world, rejected by your contemporaries, and sadly even sometimes by your brethren. That's hard to bear. Suffering and pain. Those are arguments that are used by the devil to say, well, there is no God. If God really were what the Bible says he was, why let all these things continue? That's the devil's hoary old lie. My friend, let me tell you, there is a balm in Gilead. There is a great physician there. He's the one who himself is the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He's the one who can come and put an understanding hand upon your head and upon your heart. He's the one who can calm your fevered brow, who can still your anguished heart. He's the one who can make sense when all the circumstances of your life seem to make no sense. He's the one who directs you through the maze of the immediate to the great purpose of the eternal. He's the one who, by dealing with your sin and your guilt and reconciling you to God by his own shed blood, can give you first and foremost a knowledge of acceptance with God, and then the power to live by grace. Do you notice how the world, aping the gospel, perverts it? When people are hurting and suffering, the psychologist and the sociologist will come and say, first and foremost, as well as trimming the circumstances, we must teach you to accept yourself. Man, you would be a fool to accept yourself until God has accepted you. But when God has accepted you in the person and through the righteousness of his own dear Son, then you can begin to accept yourself. Then you can begin to rejoice in divine acceptance. Then you can begin to live with confidence. Then you can begin to have the healing of the gospel of the man of sorrows. I trust today that as we have looked very simply at the terms and the teachings of this great verse of Scripture, speaking of Christ despised and dismissed of men, that your heart, stirred by grace, will feel an urgent need of Christ. And if you've never closed in with Christ, if you've never come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus, I trust that today you'll come. Hide your face no longer. Avert your gaze no longer. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Call upon him. Receive him in simple faith into your life with all its problems and all its pains. Receive him and go on your way with Christ. And I think, more than that, I'm absolutely certain that you'll come to the glorious experience of a little chorus that we learned to sing as boys and girls. You've come to Christ with Christ in the vessel. We can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. May God bless His word to all our hearts for His name's sake.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.